This content is AI-generated for informational purposes only and should not be directly used for clinical decision-making.
Hello, and welcome back to the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. I'm Dr. Aris, Senior Attending Neurosurgeon.
And I'm Dr. Ilara, Research Fellow. Today we're looking at a fascinating new study from the Revista Médica del Instituto Mexicano del Seguro Social, published in 2026. The paper is titled Association Between Early Stenosis and Temporary Clipping in Treated Cerebral Aneurysms.
This is a topic that hits home for anyone who spends time in the OR. We know that cerebral aneurysm surgery remains a major challenge due to the risk of subarachnoid hemorrhage and cerebral ischemia. As we strive to optimize our microsurgical procedures, the use of temporary clips has become a consolidated strategy.
Exactly. We use them for flow control and to facilitate definitive clipping, especially in high-risk vascular contexts. But there is always that lingering concern. Does the direct manipulation and pressure from these clips cause significant vascular stenosis?
Right. And that's what Mercado, Guzman, and colleagues wanted to address. They noted that while most international reports suggest a low risk of permanent damage, there's still limited evidence regarding early postoperative stenosis. They conducted a cross-sectional analytical study of 43 patients who underwent surgical treatment for cerebral aneurysms at the Hospital de Especialidades No. 1 in León, Guanajuato.
I found their methodology quite rigorous for a clinical study. They recorded clinical and surgical variables and specifically compared pre- and postoperative vascular calibers. To do this, they used a paired student's t-test to see if there was a statistically significant change in the vessel diameter.
And what did the numbers show, Ilara?
Well, the study did identify a statistically significant reduction in postoperative vascular caliber. The mean reduction was 5.2%, with a p-value of 0.007.
A 5.2% reduction. Now, for the residents listening, we have to ask, is that statistically significant reduction clinically significant?
That's the key question. The authors found that despite this 5.2% mean reduction, the frequency of significant stenosis, the kind that leads to clinical complications, was actually very low. In fact, they concluded that temporary clipping proved to be a safe and effective procedure.
Let's dive deeper into the technical aspects of these clips, because the paper mentions some specific parameters that are vital for our trainees to understand.
Right. The paper notes that temporary or transient clips are specifically designed to minimize endothelial damage. They have a closing pressure of approximately 1 newton, or about 60 to 90 psi. To put that in perspective for our listeners, that is roughly half the pressure exerted by a permanent clip.
And it's not just the pressure, it's the interface. The paper highlights that these clips have a flat, non-textured contact surface. This is specifically intended to prevent the kind of structural trauma to the vessel wall that could lead to a pathologic constriction.
They also looked at several factors to see if anything specific was associated with the appearance of stenosis. They analyzed the type of clip, clinical factors, and most importantly, the clipping time. Interestingly, they found no statistically significant associations between the degree of stenosis and any of these factors.
That's a very reassuring finding regarding the safety window. Sometimes in the heat of a difficult dissection, the clock is ticking, and you worry about every extra minute that the temporary clip is on the parent vessel. But in this study, the clipping times remained within what they called safe parameters, and those times didn't correlate with increased stenosis.
They also touched on the importance of imaging. We're in an era of high-resolution vascular imaging, CTA, MRA, and digital subtraction angiography. The authors emphasized using scales like the SINDU scale and 3D scales to detect residual aneurysms and consolidate the safety of the procedure.
Speaking of residuals, what did they find regarding the efficacy of the clipping itself?
The incidence of residual aneurysm was low. This supports the idea that the temporary clip isn't just a safety tool for rupture. It actually helps the surgeon achieve a better, more complete definitive clip reconstruction by softening the aneurysm sac.
It's a bit of a trade-off, isn't it? You accept a minor 5% reduction in vessel caliber to ensure you get a perfect 100% occlusion of the aneurysm with the permanent clip.
Exactly. And since they found no relationship between that caliber reduction and the clinical variables, it suggests that the vessel is resilient enough to handle that 1 newton of pressure without long-term consequences, at least in the early postoperative period.
Now, the paper does mention the need for continued imaging follow-up. Why is that important if the early results are good?
Because while they didn't see significant early stenosis, we still have questions about the medium and long-term functional consequences. The study suggests that while we have a good margin of safety, we shouldn't be complacent. They recommended multi-center studies to confirm these findings in larger, more diverse patient populations.
I think that's a crucial point for our practicing neurosurgeons. This study gives us confidence in our current techniques, but it also highlights that we still lack a clear universal consensus on the exact points of cut for what constitutes clinically relevant stenosis in this context.
It also makes me think about the vulnerable subgroups. The paper asked if certain patients were more prone to stenosis. Even though they didn't find a significant association in their 43 patients, the search for those biomarkers or clinical indicators is still ongoing in the field.
So, if we're summarizing the take-home message for a resident preparing for a case tomorrow,
I'd say, first, don't fear the temporary clip. It is a safe and effective tool. Second, remember the 1 Newton pressure limit. That's the engineering that protects your patient's endothelium. Third, expect a slight reduction in vessel caliber, about 5%, on your post-op imaging, but know that this doesn't necessarily mean the patient will have a poor outcome.
And finally, keep your clipping times within those established safe margins and always use high-quality imaging follow-up to check your work using the CINDU or 3D scales.
It's a great piece of work from the team in Mexico. It really adds some much-needed data to the discussion of microvascular handling.
Absolutely. Well, that's all the time we have for today's deep dive into the Revista Médica del Instituto Mexicano del Seguro Social.
Thank you for listening to the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. We'll see you in the next episode.
Until then, keep striving for surgical excellence. Out.